Okay, so one of the most requested podcasts, that's the word, that I've had is for a podcast on Xing Yi. That surprised me a little bit. I didn't know Xing Yi, Xing Yi Chuan, form mind boxing would be something that was highly popular with a lot of people. I always view it as the least practiced of the internal arts out of Taiji, Bagua, and Xing Yi. But a number of people asking for a podcast on Xing Yi. So, okay, sure. I shall do this. I shall attempt to discuss what I consider the most important or the most fundamental aspects of Xing Yi training. So, right before I start, just for the usual geniuses, I'd like to point out that this is a podcast. Podcasts generally consist of talking. So, therefore, there will be, it's not an instructional, there's no demonstration, it's a talk. A lot of people listen to this on the app that is only sound. I think a lot of people like to listen to me chatting shit on their way to work or whatever, or wherever they're driving. So therefore, this is a podcast, all right? If you want demonstrations or instructional videos, you'll have to go elsewhere. I'm only going to be talking about Xing Yi. So please, stop moaning about there being nothing but talking. So, podcast on Xing Yi. Xing Yi Chuan, form mind boxing, obviously, I'm sure if you're carried on to this point, you're probably familiar with what it is. It's one of the three what's usually known as the internal martial arts. There's arguments about whether that classification is classical or not, but it doesn't really matter. They're three of the sort of sister arts that are often put together as a group. Tai Chi is obviously the most well-known. Everyone does it, including, you know, characters on soap operas. I remember Helen Daniels used to do it on Neighbours when I was a kid, if you remember that terrible Australian soap opera. And then Bagua Jiang is the circle walking one that's a little bit more rare. And then there's Xing Yi, which is kind of the ugly cousin of the internal arts, which is normally practiced in a primarily straight line. And if you don't know what you're looking at, it's got an almost Shaolin-esque kind of style of walking in a straight line and drilling techniques. Externally, it's based upon five core movements, okay, the five elemental fists, although each one relates to one of the elements. So you've got five core techniques, and then once you've mastered those, usually what happens is you kind of subdivide or you branch out into what they call the animal forms, which is very common in Chinese arts to name their postures or their movements after animals. So in this podcast, what I'll do is I'll discuss San Ti, which is the key standing posture, and the five element fists, and kind of the key principles involved in those. And I'll leave the animals because I think the core of the system is that San Ti and then the five fist. So San Ti is a standing posture called Trinity posture or three posture, if you like, I suppose. But it's basically a standing posture that's designed to coordinate your body into one unified whole and to enable you to start to integrate various internal principles into it. So when you start to hold San Ti, which is a very uncomfortable posture, which I will try to put on the screen at the moment so you can at least see what it is for those who aren't listening to the podcast, you will find it's a very uncomfortable standing posture. And as with everything, every teacher does it differently. I did Xing Yi with a few different people. I did it with some teachers in the West who had okay knowledge of it, I suppose, but it was still very external. I did Sun style initially, and then Hebei style, which is probably the most common. Hebei style is the most common version of Xing Yi. Sun style's pretty common, I guess, isn't it? But Hebei definitely. So I practiced these two systems. And then when I was in China, I practiced with a couple of other teachers. Hanan Ren was very much into the kind of Hebei standing, and Wang Haitao as well was very much into the five element fists, so I did quite a lot of this. But the version of Xing Yi I did was, was it modified? It's still very much adhered to Xing Yi principles, but it was geared towards being a precursor to Bagua. That was really what it is. So whilst it still incorporated all of Xing Yi's principles, I guess it was always kind of used as a, here is a way we can use to build power into our body, and we use it as a kind of Ji Beng Gong, a foundational exercise for Bagua. So therefore, even though I studied the Hebei Xing Yi, it was still very, like I say, it was to get you ready for Bagua, really. And that's how I teach it, really. I use it as a foundational practice. It can be an art all on its own. And I have some students who very much love Xing Yi. You can tell they get all excited when they get to do Xing Yi, you know. And these students really specialize in it. I've got a student called Ben, especially, who seems to love it. A very nice, giant Canadian fellow. And a few others who are really into Xing Yi. But So it can be a whole system in its own right. But the way I was taught, it was a part of Bagua. So in the academy, for example, my online school, the basics of Jingyi included as a part of the Bagua program. So Jingyi, really, the first one you encounter, first part you encounter is the standing posture, San Ti. And San Ti is used not as a stamina exercise. This is one of my big bugbears. It's not really a stamina exercise, but you often see standing postures used as a kind of hazing exercise. Can you stand until you develop willpower or grit, or can you stand until your mind is so blank that you immediately follow the cult-like instructions of the teacher or something like that? I don't know, whatever. That's not how it's used for me. A standing practice is not really static. A standing practice is a dynamic practice because the outside of the body is still, fair enough, meaning my skeletal structure, really. I know definition of outside is weird because your bones are actually deep inside your body, but external means external mechanism. So the external mechanism of my muscles and my skeleton stay still in the Santi posture. But then the other parts, the internal mechanisms of my body, the bits that I'm trying to get connected and activated inside, they're actually very dynamic. So it means you're kind of going through a very active internal process while you're in Santi. It is very much the epitome of movement in stillness. My body is still, my external body is still, to the outside looks like I'm just standing there torturing myself. But on the inside, there's all kind of things going on. And what you're doing on the inside is trying to apply the principles of Jingyi, according to the classical teachings of the style. Once you have these classical teachings built into the body, then Santi starts to divide out into five ways of moving. And these five ways of moving develop five core power development patterns, if you like, that form the basis of the martial art. That's basically how Jingyi works at the fundamentals. It's a curious one because even though it's the most overtly martial out of Tai Chi, Bagua, and Jingyi, you can definitely sort of see it's, you know, you can't really argue it's anything other than a straightforward combative system. Even though it's the most overtly martial, actually, when you look at the classics, there's a surprisingly high amount of medicine incorporated into their classics, which I think is a very beautiful part of Chinese culture. I know we always sit here and bash Chinese culture a lot on these podcasts, and some people get annoyed at that. But actually, what I bash is modern Westerners trying to pretend that they're Chinese. That's the Chinese culture I find quite hilarious, really, the cosplay side of it. But actually, classical Chinese culture, I think, has some very beautiful aspects to it. And I think Jingyi is one very beautiful component of this, that you can have this martial art that's clearly very brutal and very sort of straight-line fighting kind of system. But its classical text, even though it does discuss fighting as well, has a huge amount of Chinese medical stuff within there, talking about nourishment of the organs and preservation of the jing and development of qi. And really, you can see that there was a movement in the mindset of the people who wrote the classics, not only towards self-defense or fighting, but also towards preservation of the health of the practitioners, which is a marvelous example of sort of yin and yang components existing within one system. So oftentimes, in my opinion, when you see Jingyi, it's often performed as a purely external art. Not always, of course, but if it's like anything. If you get a lot of people practicing something, my microphone's falling a bit, then a lot of the time people will, the majority will, really not kind of get to the bottom of the art. So a lot of what you see is an external form of Jingyi, meaning they just move the body. An external Jingyi is not really Jingyi, and external Jingyi is based very much on the same old mechanics of turn your waist, hold your center line, center leads your hands, use centrifugal force, push off the grounds with your legs, the usual things. Essentially, it's no different from a sort of modern contemporary wushu. And then what happens is people think that just by relaxing the body as much as you can and becoming sort of soft and flowing as you move, that it becomes an internal art, but that's not true. As anybody who does what we classify an external art will tell you, that as the higher levels of an external art, they are, even at the beginning, actually, of some of them, they are soft and flowing, and they do things like coordinate the joints as they move, and they do things like try to, you know, coil and make circles with their body. All the things that people mistakenly associate only with external arts to do as well. So Jingyi performed as an external art using those principles: turn your hips, center line, centrifugal force, push off the ground with your feet. It's just an external art. It's not really how it works. And what it represents to me is a fundamental misunderstanding of the core part of the system, which is San Ti. In fact, maybe I shouldn't even talk about the five elements. Maybe I shouldn't bother. Maybe San Ti is enough for me to discuss in this podcast. So I don't want to make it hugely long, because it's very weird doing a purely theoretical thing about a very movement-based art, but it's maybe Santi, the standing posture is enough. So if we look at sort of the core teachings of the internal arts, including Xingyi, one of the first things we should understand is what you will require is a dantian. A dantian is the core of the practice. Now, always when I say dantian, what normally happens is people pull apart the phrase because dan means the elixir. Okay, fair enough. So we're not talking about dantian in the terms of building like a sort of, you know, the core aspect of your true being, the sort of elixir of life inside your body. It's not that level. It's not that deep. What it means when we say dantian in Xingyi is essentially we need a gathering and a coagulation of qi within your body. And generally in Xingyi, it's within the abdominal space. Sometimes people put dantian in different areas and different arts, but abdominal space is usually what Xingyi is focused upon, certainly Hebei style, to get it to build up inside your system in order to make the qi the fuel for everything else. So this means that before you do anything, you need a dantian. And if you don't have a dantian, then your Xingyi will always remain external. This is the same pretty much for most internal arts. Without qi, they remain external. So the reason people can't internalize their Xingyi or their Tai Chi or their Bagua, I think as much as anything, is they don't even accept the existence of or the reality of qi, and that qi is a kind of substance. Fair enough, not a substance you could maybe... sorry, something flew into my eye. Maybe not a substance you could fill a cup with, or something like that. But it is a substance that coagulates within your being and starts to change the way that the inside of your body functions. It is something that is quite esoteric and something that all of the Eastern arts were focused on at some point. And they don't mean the energy in your nerves, and they don't mean the blood that flows in your vessels, and they don't mean coordinated physical power, and they don't mean your breath, and they don't mean your lymph, and they don't mean any of those things. They don't mean the mesentery or some organ or whatever, I don't know, that people try to equate the qi with. I don't even know what that organ is, but it's not that. It is a substance that's accumulated within your body that actually, once it is thick enough and denser enough, starts to interact with your physical form to cause it to mobilize on the inside. Now, within arts like Qigong, perhaps they take that definition a bit differently, and perhaps within arts like Neigong, they might take that definition a little differently. But this is the martial arts, internal martial arts definition of the term qi. So your first step is building a dantian. And this is where much Xingyi falls down, is the practitioner doesn't have a dantian. They just don't have one. And because they don't have a dantian, you can't access the insides of the body. Same with Tai Chi, same with Bagua. The dantian in Tai Chi is actually a little different. Yeah, okay. Let's isolate Bagua and Tai Chi out of the equation and just do and just do Xingyi. So what I need to do within Xingyi is I need to breathe properly, and I need to stand properly, and I need to sink my center, and I need to position myself in the right way, that those three ingredients that are core for the dantian's development in any art will come together, which is the E, or the mind, starting to pay attention to the right region of your body, meaning your abdomen at first, my body structure, so that it can drop my center down towards that place, so the center and the mind can start to touch each other, and then the breath. And the breath doesn't mean the ability to draw oxygen into your body or push out CO2 or any of those things. It means to use the diaphragm to pressurize cavities inside your body. That's what it means to use the breath to develop the dantian. So the lungs are almost irrelevant in this. We want the lungs to function well, obviously, but it's actually the mobilization of the diaphragm and the pressurization of the chambers of the body that are needed. The Xingyi, wrong art. The Xingyi classics actually allude to this because they discuss things such as the raising of the perineum or the sealing of the anus and the drawing in of the cavity of the abdomen and things within the classics, which people have taken to mean sort of tense your butt or suck something up your anus or something. But it's not really about that. It's not like you hold these parts of the body in place. I mean, I've literally been to Xingyi classes when I was younger, that there was a misunderstanding and you were told to literally raise your buttocks, raise your anus and squeeze your perineum. As if you try to sort of, I don't know, suck something up or something weird and perverse up into you. But it's nothing to do with that. It's not really. Basically, what they're alluding to is as I breathe in a certain way, particularly on the inhalation, what will happen is because there is a closing of the abdominal cavity, that's what your breath is controlling, then certain points will come together on the in-breath, including not the, my sign language here. Sorry if you're listening to a recording version of this. Not the underside of your perineum and the outside of your anus, but on top, meaning the sort of base of your abdominal cavity will draw up as you breathe in. The byproduct of this is the outside of your body, such as your anus and your perineum, will squeeze, but you're not doing it. You're not doing that at all. You are just breathing in a certain way, reverse abdominal breathing, so that cavity closes. The byproduct is as those parts of your body raise up and the diaphragm comes down, it creates compression in the abdomen, which is combined with the yi resting inside this area, attentive, not intending, not trying to lead anything. And then also your posture lined up in a certain way that it takes the mass of your body and drops it down to the lower abdominal space. And this will cause gradually the qi to start to coagulate inside your abdominal space. San Ti is a posture that is used to do this. Although I will say in my school we kind of cheat because many people have already built the Dantian through other practices. They built it through seated work or more neutral standing. So therefore, by the time they get to San Ti, they often don't really have to do much of that work. They just have to adapt it for the art. So most of these lines that you see in the classic about, you know, drawing up these parts of the body or sealing these cavities or breathing in this way or using the breath to guide the qi, what they mean is to control the pressure in the cavities inside your body until the qi is drawn into this abdominal space. This is the same for many things, yogic practices, qigong things. The breathing, oxygen and CO2, is not the key. It is the pressurization of the cavities using the diaphragm. That's why the diaphragm wants to be loose and separated and mobile, so you can control that pressure inside. I just realized what an awkward position this microphone is in. Maybe if I sort of scoot over here a little bit into the corner, maybe that's better. Yeah, there we go. I didn't set this podcast studio up properly. And when I say podcast studio, I mean my lounge, my front room, but there you go. Yeah, that's better. So first step is Dantian. So the qi must coagulate and gather inside the abdominal space. Now, this takes a little bit of time, not ages usually. I mean, if people are practicing every day and they have the right principles, we're looking at a matter of, I don't know, months at the most. Generally, sometimes a bit longer, but generally months at the most. Not weeks for most people, not years, definitely months. And then the qi will start to gather inside the abdominal space. The Jingyi classics are very clear on this, that the Dantian is needed and it needs to be full. You will see that term. When the Dantian is full and the body has an abundance of qi, then the power will arise within your body. Now, it's not quite true that the power will automatically arise, but at least the potential for the right form of power will appear within your body when there is a Dantian. So here, whilst this is going on in the San Ti posture, you're also generally working on the first of three harmonies. Okay, so I'm going to introduce you to another concept now called the six harmonies, the Liu He, although some of you may have heard of this. Six harmonies being, they're used in all arts, actually. I mean, I think you could argue that Tai Chi and Bagua use the six harmonies. I think that's true, but they're emphasized to a massive scale in Jingyi. It's like the core principle for me. Later, you've got something called the eight words and things, but the six harmonies are the most important thing. If you have the six harmonies in your body, then you are doing Jingyi as an internal art. And if you have the six harmonies, you're already practicing at a very high level, and certainly higher than most Jingyi practitioners, for sure, because most practitioners are practicing with the first three harmonies. They don't have four, five, or six. So let me explain them one at a time, the harmonies, because San Ti is where the harmonies are applied. So in San Ti, the first three harmonies are: harmony number one is a harmony between the hands and the feet. Hands and the feet. Meaning that when I have my hands and I release their mass a little bit, so gravity has a greater control of my hands, it will touch my feet. So what it means is I feel my hands in my feet. So if I move my hands above my foot, I will feel the shifting of the mass and the pressure in my feet. It means they are coordinated. If I disconnect my hands from my feet, meaning gravity is not pulling them, when I move my hand, I don't feel it in my feet. They are disconnected. This means the power on an external level is broken within the body. Now, there are other aspects to hands and feet coordinating, such as moving them together and things like this, but those are things that are, I think, best taught in person. I think for something like this, where you're maybe listen to the fundamentals of Jingyi, what I would say is when you're holding San Ti, first step is to release the weight of the hands. So minimal effort is holding them up so that then gravity takes the hands so I feel them in my feet. That is harmony one. Harmony 2 is very similar. It is the elbows and the knees, meaning that because my elbow is slightly sunk and slightly heavy, especially in the Santi posture, when I release the weight of my elbows, meaning minimal force holding me up, I don't push my elbows down, I let gravity take them, I will feel them go into my knees, okay? Not in a bad way, so you get knee pressure, but I feel like a little touch of my elbows into my knees. I feel the communication between the two. Once you get really good, when I release the elbows properly, you will feel not just the knees, but also it pushes the long bone of the legs out as if they're pushing through your feet. It's like you feel the long bone through your shin. And I move my elbows a little and I feel it in my legs. Okay, so now I'm coordinating the two. The third harmony is your shoulders and your hips communicating. And once again, if I position my shoulders properly and I settle them down, then I will feel them in my hips. So if I raise my shoulders up and then lower them down, I will feel them spring into my hip joints. So I describe it to my students as like, have you ever seen Pixar, those animation programs, when you ever see one of the sort of characters with the skin stripped off and you see that they sort of have a stick men, don't they? And they're like stick men with little balls, ball on their joints, balls on their shoulder, balls on their elbows, balls on their hands, and they sort of manipulate this little stick man character when they're animating the film. I hope you've seen that, otherwise that analogy will make no sense. But Xing Yi is very similar because it's like the spheres of my shoulder and my hips, my elbows, my knees, my hands and my feet have to touch together in order to get the upper and the lower body to communicate. Now, these first three harmonies are what I consider external harmonies. They're still using the external body. They're using the gravity to get the external upper body and external lower body to communicate with one another. And then while we are moving in Xing Yi, later we learn to feel these joints moving as one unit so that all of my external body is harmonized. Okay, hands and feet, elbows and knees, shoulders and hips. And even that's hard enough when you first start, especially when you start moving. Now, as you get better and better, what happens is as I start to keep my hand above my foot, elbow above my knee, shoulder above my hip, I feel them connect. After a while of connecting, then you will start to distort that connection between them. And as I pull my hand further from my foot, elbow further from the knee, shoulder further from the hip, it will create a kind of stretch through the body. It's like there's a stretch between the joints. And this starts to elasticate the inside of the body. But that sort of stuff is probably best taught in person. Now, I would say that Mo Xing Yi doesn't get much past that. Not really. That's kind of the key for many people. Not the key. That's as far as they get. That's a kind of extent of how far they go in Xing Yi is to get those external harmonies going. And I don't think that's very good because those external harmonies are not that hard to do. I've managed to teach people within a few lessons how to at least get Santi and harmonize those parts of the body. Those harmonies, of course, can go deeper and deeper, but I mean, on a fundamental level, they're not so hard to get. Now, harmony 4, 5, and 6 are a little bit trickier, and this is where Xing Yi goes a bit deeper, and this is really where Xing Yi turns into an internal art. So harmony number 4, actually, before I go into 4, 5, and 6, I should say that some schools will list the 6 harmonies differently. They will name them in different ways and discuss different things, but I will give you the version of the harmonies that I was taught. Okay, so just so you're aware, if you already do Xing Yi, maybe your harmonies are listed differently, but these are how I was taught. Harmony number 4 is called the mind and the yi, and the intent, I should say, the shin and the yi. So let's look at what each of these means. So in order to explain, what's going on here? Tuck that there, my runaway plant. So in order to explain harmony 4, I have to first explain what the shin is as well as the yi, because I used mind and intent, which is often how they're translated, but as with all things, they're a bit more complicated, aren't they? We can go a bit deeper. So your shin is really what they call your heart. Heart or mind in Chinese arts use the same term, okay? So heart or mind, heart mind, you will sometimes see written in traditions that have a sort of Chan influence as well, and that's okay. So your shin, or your heart mind, really, to me, involves the state of your mind with regards to your emotions and your thoughts and everything going on at the moment. Now, shin can go deeper, of course. I am talking about the initial level of encountering your mind, okay? Now, most people, what is going on with either their conscious or their subconscious or their unconscious intent, okay? Think of what those are. Conscious intent, think I'm choosing to doing. Subconscious intent, things going on in the background that I don't realize, distortions I'm placing upon my mind without knowing. Unconscious intent, meaning buried intent you don't even know that you're making. And many of us, our minds are operating on that level all the time, okay? Sort of hubbub in a way. And what happens is these kind of intent mix with your heart mind, your emotions, your biases, your preferences and everything, personality, to generate the formation of who you are on a mental level, right? Now, what is happening is this means that your shin, your mind, and your e, something we'll define in a minute, are working together, but in a unhelpful manner for the arts, shall we say. Before, we don't even have to go any deeper than that before looking at sort of suffering or karma or anything, just in an unhelpful nature for the arts. So what happens, in order to get the yi and the shin to combine, both of them have to go quiet. That's really what it comes down to. It's like a meditative aspect to the art that causes you to bridge across into the internal aspect of your training. So think about this. If you're doing Jing Yi, you can learn it externally. You can do the three external harmonies, hands to feet, elbows to knees, don't know why that was hard to remember, shoulders to hips. Okay, and you can learn it externally, and you can learn to move your body in a soft, flowing, connective, and strong manner. Fair enough. But now it's external. So in order to get to the next stage, we need to get to internally to get past the barrier of the fourth harmony, which means that my heart, mind, and my intent, if you like, for now, my shin and my yi have to go quiet. And do you know what that means? It means we have to go inside. We have to go inside. We have to go inside with our mind. We have to go inside with the location of our mind into our body. We have to go inside with regards to the quality of the mind so that it grows still and it grows quiet. If you're always outside, or doing outside things like visualizing, imagining, creating, intending, you cannot get the shin and the yi to start to combine. So it means there is a meditative barrier to progression in an art like Jing Yi. Same in the other arts too that are internal. And this is what prevents a lot of people from going into the inside. They're always looking outside. So what happened? I mean, it doesn't take a genius to look at Taoist writings to realize, look at the Tao Te Ching, going inside. Okay, to allow the muddy waters to settle, to sit and forget, to go into the emptiness. They're referring to going inside in order to get the shin and the yi to start to combine. So therefore, we have to learn to apply this meditative side of the training to what we're doing. So basically, what happens is when my shin goes quiet, meaning my emotions are settled, not meditative state, but towards that way, okay, not too active with the mind, starting to become comfortable in my standing, overcome the panic at standing still, overcome the boredom, which is a major thing internal martial arts should definitely get over because boredom is childish, get past all those things until my mind and my emotions can settle, okay, that is the first step. Then my yi, okay, and let's define the yi. The shin is the emotional mind that must grow steady so that I can go inside. The yi, what is the yi? The yi is either your intent or your attention, one or the other, okay? Sometimes you will see people talk about yin yang and talk about active and passive aspects of mind, but really you could talk about your yi being either intending or attentive. So intending means your mind is doing something, obviously. So I am intending for my arm to go forward. I am intending to be rich next year. I don't know, whatever. I have conscious intent. I'm intending to stand like this and not move, whatever. Then I have a subconscious intent, which might be a sort of emotional distortion or, you know, like a intent that bubbles away at the back of your mind, always like to be better than everybody else or always to be seen as the most right or always to be invisible in a crowd. I don't know, whatever it is, you know, like that's your subconscious intent that's bubbling away. And then your unconscious intent, meaning hidden things, traumas, stuff like that, you know. You've got all these layers going on. I've done other videos on this YouTube channel about different types of intent and stuff. So you can look that up if you're interested in hearing me chat more rubbish. But this is intent, okay? The other side of your yi is all of that, if it goes quiet, becomes attention, attentive, what we call listening, the ability to be purely attentive. Now, the key is you can't be attentive and intending at the same time. You cannot. So your yi wants to convert in order to go inside from intending to attentive, meaning I'm purely paying attention, okay? Purely paying attention, just listening, not trying to do anything, absorbing my mind in a sort of semi-meditative way, a sort of deep level of sati, maybe not samadhi, maybe not jhana or something, but at least sati maybe. So I'm applying this listening, this attentiveness with my mind, and what will happen is then when my emotional mind is settled and my intending mind is converting to attention, then the shin and the yi will start to combine. So the fourth harmony will start to come together. The mind and the intent will not fight one another. And instead, what you get is a level of attentiveness that arises out of your heart mind that enables your mind to suddenly go inside and soak through your body. And it's a major stage. And do you know, hardly anyone ever gets it. Hardly anyone ever gets it because they underestimate how difficult it is. Think how long you have to learn to stand in Santi. Think how long you have to learn to move your body. How long you have to develop coordination. How long you have to get these six harmonies while you're moving through these techniques, or the first three, you know, hands to feet, elbows to knees, shoulders to hips. Difficult enough as it is. Now you have to get the fourth one at the same time, which is much, much harder. So it will take longer. However long it takes you to coordinate your external body, to get the shin and the yi to combine, or the mind and the yi to combine, will take you longer, a greater degree of time, because it depends not so much on a technique, but a personality trait. You must drop all of the constructions you have about yourself. I am a guru, I am a sifu, I am a master, I am inadequate, I am amazing, whatever it is, I don't know. They must all go along with your emotions and along with your intent. I want to do this, I want to do better, until eventually everything just relaxes and you stop being such a schmuck. And then the mind and the intent will start to combine, and they will come together and they will take you inside. And when you start to go inside, something amazing will happen, is you will start to then bridge into what we call the marrow. Not that amazing. You will start to bridge into the tendon changing classic, the Yi Jin Jing. The methods of the Yi Jin Jing will start to become apparent to you, which are inherent within all arts, including Jing Yi Chuan. Even though it doesn't explicitly state it, it follows the same principles as Yi Jin Jing. Meaning that when my mind soaks inside, then another form of my body will start to move. This form will not be my contractive muscles on the outside, the things that control leverage. It will be an extension of the elasticated connective tissues on the inside, what they call the flesh in the classics. Not the muscles, the flesh. Sometimes called the huang in some classics. Not explicitly in Jing Yi usually, but it's the same kind of stuff. Starts to move and connect up, meaning your body will elasticate and tie together. My body is not elasticated and tied together because anything I've tried to do. I've not used my intention. I've not even moved. I've been in Santi. I've just done it through going inside so that the mind and the intent combine until I bridged from an external out to an internal. The people who will struggle with this are the ones who can't go in. They're always looking externally. What is that person doing? How good is that person? That person is shit. That person is doing it wrong. That person I don't like. This person's doing it right. That person's better than me. That person's worse than me. How do I feel about that? Those are the people that can't go inside. So therefore, they will always stay in external arts. The ones who are cool like the Fonz, hey, if you know who that is, the ones who are able to just chill and separate themselves from all that until the mind and the intent come together will go inside, and they will start to access the fourth harmony, which is the mind and the intent start to merge. Okay, so that's harmony four. Let's look at harmony five. Okay, and as I said, these harmonies sometimes are listed differently, but this is how I was taught them. And harmony five now is the yi and the qi. Okay, sometimes called the intent and the energy. The yi and the qi. So what is the yi? Okay, the yi is the fruition of the fourth harmony. So the yi is my attentive mind that has arisen from subduing or relaxing away from my intent and relaxing away from my emotional mind towards a meditative state of being until the shin and the yi combined. And then what happens is I get the core of that, meaning the correct yi, skillful yi. And this yi is combined with the qi. And this becomes harmony number five. So harmony number four has to be managed before harmony five can even be done. You also need something else for harmony five. You need qi. So where is your qi? Dantian. You need to have accumulated a substance of qi within your body. And again, that's not a natural thing. You're not born with that qi. Okay, you have enough qi to function on a health level. You have enough qi to function so your organs don't fail. You have enough qi to go out and have a night out and have enough energy to come back and live your life and sleep after. You know, like that. You have that kind of qi. But you don't have the cultivated qi that is required. You don't have practice qi, if you like. You don't have the qi that is needed and cultivated over a period of time in order to even come anywhere close to harmony five. So therefore, you have to build the dantian. You have to accumulate the substance of the qi inside the abdominal space through santi standing and breathing. And what will happen is gradually, as you accumulate it, which will take months and then longer and longer and more years standing, It's not that long, actually. A couple of years standing, a couple of years practice. The chi will get nice and dense, and it will start to form inside your body in a thick, viscous substance. And then what happens is that yi, that is the result of harmony four, will be combined with it. And then all of a sudden, that chi will start to mobilize through your body. Now, this part I'm going to say slowly and clearly. The chi that mobilizes as a result of the yi and the chi coming together, harmony five, is thick enough that it pulls on and stretches the flesh of your body, okay? So think of it like this. Inside your body, there's all this flesh and connective tissue. What will happen is the chi will mobilize into it like water soaking into a sponge, or like my friend Adam says, like ink going into blotting paper, okay, either one. It will soak in, and as it goes into the tissues, okay, into this stuff on the inside, they will start to stretch. The chi will mobilize the tissues on the inside to turn your body into feeling like it is a load of bows being strung up. Something else they talk about in the classics, like bows, you know, like bow and arrow, being strung up. Basically, all these fibers through the inside of your body will just striate and start to become very, very strong. The result will be I will go from standing soft into soft, 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 internal art. I go inside. The yin and the chi start to combine, and the chi will flow through the tissues, and the inside of my body will suddenly become, for the vast majority of people, very, very tense, very, very taut, because all that flesh will suddenly, bang, start to move and become solid, because the chi goes into the flesh and pushes it out. So your body will expand from the inside and become tight, not the outside muscles, the inside. Tai chi refers to this as steel wrapped in cotton, the inside of your body tight, like cast iron, but the outside of your, well, like steel, I guess, not cast iron. Iron steel is not the same, is it? But then the flesh on the outside is like cotton, is soft, okay? Now you are accessing the inside body. And the more qi you have in the dantian, the more that will happen. If you have no qi in the dantian, you have no dantian, then it doesn't matter what the fuck you do with your yi, it doesn't matter how cultivated it is, it cannot combine with the qi that is not there. So therefore, it won't move into the insides. If the qi is high and the yi touches it, then the inside of your body will suddenly stretch. And I wish I could explain it to you over oral instructions, you know, over like just a podcast. But let me try and say this, and it's hard to understand unless you've experienced it. The inside of your body will stretch massively against your will, if you like. I mean, it's not your doing. I am stood in Santi. I am doing the same thing. But as the chi moves into the tissues, the whole of my body suddenly goes taut and stretches like cables within. Okay, this is very important because now Santi changes. Now you will see in Santi, there's a load of other external principles, such as hooking the feet or hooking the hands, the cold they start to apply into the body, and various other principles that your tradition will have. So if I start to hook my hand or hook the tiger's mouth or release this point or whatever principle is I'm doing, if the yi and the qi are combined, then what will happen is all of these little adjustments will drive the qi through the inside of the body into different cavities, meaning the inside of your body will just pressurize in a massive, massive fashion, and your body will fill with qi and fill with power. Again, hardly any jingyi people get to this stage. Hardly any tai chi people get to this stage. Hardly any bagua people get to this stage. Why? Well, they don't have qi. Don't have a dantian. And also they can't get past harmony number four. They can't apply a meditative mindset. It's much harder for people to do than you think. This is the thing. A meditative mindset in meditation, say you are meditating and you, how do you prove you have a meditative mindset? You know, like many of the people who've meditated will just, they're already nice people. they're already okay. Maybe they started chilled out already. Do you know what I mean? How do they prove they have a meditative mindset? You don't. You just sit there with your eyes closed. Now, in something, so therefore, everybody thinks like 90% of meditators have a meditative mindset, but clearly that's not the case. Because if you take those meditators and you put them into Santi, and then you ask them to do the harmonies, they can't. Because they can't do harmony four. Because actually, the internal martial arts will show you quite clearly whether you have managed to harmonize the shin and yi, the mind and the intent, to a decent level or not. And if you're really a good meditator, if you give them Qing Yi, once they've got a bit of qi, then actually you should be doing very easily. But my experience is that's not the case. So, Qing Yi will give you a very clear marker, just like all the internal arts will. Is my Xin and my Yi combined? If it is, then what will happen is harmony five will arise, which is the Yi and the qi will touch, and then the inside of my body will come to life. Now you have the internal arts. Okay? Very important. Pause. Give you a moment to think about that. Harmony 5, Yin Qi. Now, once the Qi starts to move inside, you will go through a few different versions of power. People list them again differently, but the way I was taught, maybe different from how you're taught, but in Jingyi, this is how I was taught. You will go through obvious power first. Obvious. Very, very clear power. Meaning that your Jingyi becomes very tight all of a sudden. Santi becomes rock solid as all these cables stretch on the inside, and the Qi pushes like fluid into the cavities of your body. And the more Qi I build, the more my Yi and my Qi combine, the more it will pressurize the body. And your Jingyi will look very stiff for a while and very powerful in a sort of robotic way. This is obvious power. Then what will happen is once everything's connected up, the Qi will start to mobilize inside and wind its way into the spaces that are more open. And you'll naturally start to evolve towards what we call more subtle power. And more subtle power is not based on rigorous sort of, tensegrity type stretches. It's actually based upon the tissue starting to wrap around the bone. So you get a natural kind of coiling that arises inside your body, okay? Coiling inside. So in Jingyi, I don't really coil that much. There's some moves that twist, but not many. People try to make the coils, but you don't. You do a straight line, and inside of your body will coil when you reach the level of the Yi and the Qi combining until obvious power changes to subtle power. Okay? Then there is a third level after this called hidden power. Hidden power means everything is so open up and so full of Qi that I only move my body in a very unobvious, soft fashion, but the Qi is delivered along that line to generate Jin, and then power is generated with no effort, and it looks really mysterious. And this is similar to the kind of weird, fudgy, woo-woo stuff that you see Tai Chi people often doing. Appears in Jingyi as a byproduct of this, and it's basically because you've done so much tensegrity training, obvious power, based upon the Qi moving into the tissues, so much subtle power, the twisting of the Qi into the cavities to coil everything onto your bones, that what will happen is a hidden power will arise, meaning the Qi and the Jin will be delivered along those lines to create weird outcomes, because it's the internal answer, so it's bound to go a bit weird, isn't it? So that's Harmony 5. I probably just dumped a lot of info on you. Hope you could follow that. You can watch it again. Slow it down. Take some notes. So then you have Harmony 6, which is basically the Qi, okay, all of this that we talked about, and your power combine. Your Qi and your power combine. Meaning we get to the stage where when I mobilize my Yi with my Qi, then it will stretch everything inside and generate a power output, a Jin output. And this power output is the strength that Jingyi develops. If you don't have Harmony 4, 5, or 6, it will be based on external power, meaning alignments of your bones. That's what it means. External power is either muscles or bone alignment. That's really what it is. Internal power is the harmonies have got to such a stage that the Qi, the Yi and the Qi are combined. This generates my internal power. So now what happens with even the smallest thought, the inside of my body will change and the power will mobilize according to my mind. At this stage, we can say that the Yi, the mind, and the Xing, the form, have come together. So now we have achieved Xing Yi, form and mind combined. How does Xing Yi arise? Because form and mind come together as we apply the six harmonies into my body. And then the result is, this creates Xing Yi, and then I learn how to use it in different ways, and this creates Chuan, boxing, Xing Yi Chuan. So then I learn to apply these harmonies to generate power in different ways. And these ways are the five element fists and the 12 animals and a whole bunch of other stuff. But it's all based upon what is developed in the six harmonies while standing in Santi, combined with the development of the Dantian and the opening up of the body through the practice. So there we go. Actually, maybe I'll make this a short podcast. I'll tell you why. Why I'll make it a short one. One, because not so many people do Jingyi. So, you know, I don't want to bore you. Lots of people listen to this do Qigong, and this won't make any sense at all. And this is purely for Jingyi practitioners who have been asking me for a theoretical podcast for a while. So this is a theoretical podcast on Jingyi. And the other reason is I think actually with Jingyi, any more than this probably needs physical demonstrations. And that's obviously not appropriate for a podcast. It's more what I teach within my school. So let's end it here and hopefully this will help. So I will reiterate though, I'll revise. Jingyi Chuan is based upon the first, the Santi posture, which three posture, trinity posture, meaning harmonizing all the different bits of the body, harmon the you know, the the first three being in the upper three joints and lower three joints, and then later there's many other trinities. But okay, this standing posture. In this standing posture, we have to build the dantian. Told you how. Breath, mind, and posture combined until the qi starts to coagulate and thicken inside your body into a substance. Then we apply the harmonies. The external harmonies first. Hands and feet, elbows and knees, shoulders and hips. Okay. Then we bridge across to the internal, which many people don't manage to do, meaning you have to go inside, meaning the mind and the yi must combine. Then the yi and the qi must combine, meaning that your body now starts to transform, to turn your body into a jing yi body. Okay, then you will go through three types of power. Obvious power, subtle power. Some people get to hidden power, but obvious and subtle is pretty good. And then the sixth harmony will be that all of that is combined to generate your power. The result of your sixth harmony is the power that comes out when you're mobilizing your body in Xing Yi Chuan. Okay? And the name alludes to your form and all these qualities of mind coming together to generate your boxing effect. Mo Xing Yi, like I said, is external these days, and it's because of the missing link from Harmony 4, which people will struggle with, because trying to get your mind to do anything is a pain in the ass. Trying to get your mind to go to a highly cultivated state is very, very difficult. So I understand, you know, it's hard. It's hard. And it takes faith, because you're there thinking, well, I can generate power by moving my arm. I can generate power by pushing off the ground. I can generate power by moving my hip. But I have to generate power by meditating. Obviously, it seems like completely illogical, but so it does take a bit of faith to do, and a bit of patience and time, a lot of patience, a lot of time. And then what happens is when that fourth harmony comes, you go inside, and then you will discover all of the things that make Xing Yi or the internal arts in general what they are. And you will discover that all those principles that people will focus on, like bend your spine, release your spine, turn your hips, push off the ground, make a straight line, like none of them really apply. Those are all external principles. Once you get past harmony four, you'll realize that actually, yeah, it's far more cool than that. So, hope that meets the request for a Xing Yi podcast. Sorry if it's a bit niche. I know, like, nobody does Xing Yi, do they? It's like three guys in some obscure town in China doing Xing Yi compared to the Tai Chi and Bagua practitioners. So, sorry if it's a bit of a niche subject, but I was asked for it. So, there you go.